Let's just talk a little bit about your new album, The Whole Love. Tell us a little bit about its story, like how it came to be.
Well, it kind of came to be the same way all of our records came to be. We had some songs and went in the studio and tried to make the best of them that we could. And I don't know, it's really hard to say. I mean, we've been doing it for so long. We tour, and when we are not touring, we try and make music in the studio, and every once in a while we get to put out a record, and this one felt really special to us for a lot of reasons, but mostly just because we feel like we're getting better.
In our digital culture, we're so into downloading singles and people talking about individual songs. It seems to me you're all about creating an entire album, and I just wanted to hear your thoughts about that.
Well, we still like the shape and scope of a record as being a digestible piece of music that can go, you know, take you somewhere, you know, take you from point A to point B, and we still listen to records like that, and I think we're realistic about the fact that it's maybe a minority of people that will actually listen to the records that we make in that fashion, but you know, hopefully the songs themselves stand alone, and we certainly try to make each song as powerful or as, you know, as exciting as we can. But yeah, I don't think we'll ever give up on the idea of making a record. It's just a shape and a format that we really enjoy pursuing. It's like what we aspire to is to make a great record, because we grew up making connections with great records.
After Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, you had a big critical success, and with Ghost Is Born, you had 2 Grammys. So I was curious what it was like to try and follow up with that. Was that a big challenge? Like, where do you go from there?
No, actually, I don't know. I honestly don't think that we've ever looked at those kinds of outside accomplishments or acknowledgments as being a sole driving force for our creativity. I feel like the shows and the records and the experiences that we get to participate in are their own reward, and we've been encouraged mostly by just the fact that we've been able to keep our families alive doing it for a pretty long time, and each year seems to get a little bit better. We seem to have a little bit more comfort in terms of not worrying about our finances and things like that, so which is hard to do as a musician, as you may or may not know. It's not an easy thing to get to be a part of. And all that other stuff is more along the way. Things like that have happened, and it's been great, but it's never felt like we reached the mountaintop and we were staring at the abyss.
And I was curious, when you sit down to write a song or put a new song together, is that something you even think about, like whether it's going to be accessible or whether someone might find it too experimental? I'm just curious how you happened upon your blend of putting the two together.
I think either part of that equation would be just an accident. It's not part of how we're trying to approach things. If things end up accessible, I think that's because there's a sincere willingness or effort to reach out and connect, desire to connect with listeners or with people in general. And anything that's perceived as being experimental, I think, is usually just stuff that we think is not really experimental. It's just maybe a little bit outside of what people hear on rock records right now or something. But to me, a lot of noise and dissonance and experimental, whatever you would call it, whatever that means, aspects of music making have been a part of rock music for a long time. So that's just our effort to incorporate things that we love to do and make records exciting for ourselves.
And let's talk about live versus being in the studio, it's two different ways of creating music. But just talk a little bit about the differences and how you play music differently when it's a live versus a studio setting.
Well, I mean, the main difference is if you screw up live, you don't stop and start over. In the studio, you pretty much, it's kind of pointless to go on if you make an egregious mistake. But they're both, they are definitely different in terms of psychology. And I have to say, I think that we really enjoy both equally. And I'm really, really happy that we're able to do both. And I would miss either one Either one wouldn't be as much fun without the other. I don't know how that makes sense, but it does.
What were the first pieces or works that you heard that just really drew you into music?
Well, my brothers and my sister are a fair amount older than I am. And so I grew up not in the 60s, but I was born in the 60s, and I grew up with all of their 60s records. So the music from that time period, and in particular all the really great big acts from that time, like Dylan and the Stones and the Beatles, my brothers and my sister had all those records. So that's pretty formative, and that's a pretty great batch of music to get, like, sucked into first. So, but I think even earlier than that, I was drawn to just sound and like listening to records on even children's records and records of train sounds and stuff like that. So, but the bands that drew me into the idea that this could be something really empowering to do were those great rock bands from the 60s.
As far as instruments, like, when did you first pick up an instrument and what were you trying to play?
I think I first picked up a guitar at one of our family gatherings, and it might have been one of my cousin's guitars. And I think I tried to play Smoke on the Water or Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas or something. I don't know, whatever was on the radio at the time.
And how did that go?
Oh, it was encouraging, actually. I think Smoke on the Water is probably a song more responsible for convincing parents to buy a guitar than almost any other, because it's almost, I think almost any imbecile can play it.
That's Wilco's frontman, Jeff Tweedy. Wilco will be performing at the Amp at the Washington County Fairgrounds tomorrow night. Tickets are still available by calling the Walton Arts Center box office at 443-5600 or by visiting their website, waltonartscenter.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.